Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the do-over of free speech, because I thought I had done this and then I accidentally erased it, but it's not a big deal. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664, phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators are standing by. Okay, so this is a conversation I had with David Duke over the weekend regarding the Trump assassination. So it's our early thoughts, and see what you think. And then I'll be back on the other side to say I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, and open-minded people wherever you live across the United States of America, Europe, and the world, this is David Duke. History's been made. It was almost the assassination death of a former president and a probable future president of the United States. I remember very vividly the time of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And back then, I was very young. And I wasn't acquainted with Jewish power then. Later, I learned about how Kennedy became an absolute enemy of the Zionist nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel, including Ben-Gurion and the rest of them, saw Kennedy as absolutely an enemy. And it was an existential enemy to them. He wanted to stop the atomic bomb. He also was demanding, this was before the 67 war, he was demanding that Israel... He made three different demands. Israel had to take back the refugees, these Palestinians, back into Israel proper that had been expelled. And there's a lot of evidence of the Jewish deep state in the Kennedy assassination. We're going to be talking about that, and we're also going to be addressing the issue that Donald Trump, of course, says a lot of nice things about Jews. We're going to talk about why maybe he does that, but whether or not Jews still really do oppose him in great mass, especially the billionaire class and the powerful Jews that seem to have the most power on a global basis. And we're going to introduce this possibility. And I think it's a probability. We'll see what Dr. Slattery says, but he's going to join me today, and we're going to discuss this assassination. Now, assassination doesn't mean somebody dies, but it was an assassination. He survived. He didn't die. But we had a president of the United States, former president, and a possible future president, almost graphically had his head blown off on international live television. And maybe it would have been almost like those aid workers in Gaza that were killed who were sending aid to the children of Gaza. And yet Jews knew this was going to come out there, the Jewish elite. The Zionists knew that was going to happen, but that's exactly what they wanted. Maybe this was also not only to stop Trump, but maybe it was also to say, you see what happens to you if you dare to cross us? That's pretty good deterrent, I think. Anyway, let's go to Dr. Patrick Slattery standing by with me. Dr. Slattery, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Well, thank you very much. So, you know, I will be making... very minimalist statements, things that I think anybody can confidently say. There's a lot of things that can be speculated. There are a lot of possibilities. So, but I'm going to just.
I like to speculate. So I'll be speculating, and you can make a minimalist statement. That's fine.
but that will give people parameters. Yeah. The parameters, you know, you'll give one side of the parameters, and I'll give another side of the parameters, and somewhere in there, is I think with 99% probability, somewhere in between is going to be what the truth is.
We'll find out. Time will tell. Right? There's so many questions here. Should we go through? Should I give a little summary of some of the things that are just raising our cackles, or do you want to start with that? And the first thing that's, you know, steps out is how in the hell did this happen in an open venue, 15,000 people, and there's only one building where this could have been coming from on the roof, and that's the standard operating procedure for this kind of assassination. How in the world could this happen, especially when you had two sniper buildings with our people on top, or so-called our people? Maybe they weren't our people. Maybe they were the same kind of people that killed Kennedy. They are up there on the roof, and they could certainly see the other roof from the top. In fact, they actually shot them from the other roof, from what I understand, even though there's some, even behind Trump, they had some people pointing guns like toward that area. You can go into that. But the point is that how in the world, this would be the first thing that they would do in an outdoor venue. It's the only building around. You can see the diagram. And then another big red herring on a big question is, usually the names, these people identified very quickly, whether or not they had ID. And they did have his ID. They kept saying they had to verify everything. But by not letting it to the public, that gives them a chance to scrub the social media, to scrub their and agencies because of people's knowledge when they start searching the internet. So the fact that they didn't even release this thing till in the wee hours of the morning, I don't know exactly what time they did release it, is also very suspicious, but there's many more things as well. You want to set this up and frame this for us and give us a good perspective from your perspective from the beginning of this process?
Okay. So, right now you're talking about the name. So the name that has been released is one Thomas Matthew Cook, 20-year-old male from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. Maybe that was him. Maybe, like I say, I'm not going to go out on limbs. Roger Stone, I think everybody knows who Roger Stone is. He's a friend of Trump's. He's somebody who had his house raided by the FBI pre-dawn because of his relationship with Trump. Roger Stone had very early on, I don't know where he got the information, but he tweeted out a name and picture of a man named Maxwell Yearlick. Maxwell Yearlick. Now, Maxwell Yearlick would be about 30 now. And 7 years ago, when Trump was in his first year in office, he went to Pittsburgh and was doing an event in Pittsburgh. And Matthew Yearlick and another person, and they seem to be kind of like Antifa types, they got arrested demonstrating at this Trump event. They got arrested for fighting with police or for attacking police. So there was this Maxwell Yearlick. And a photo that was released that it was supposedly the dead shooter, the dead attempted assassin, his face and the picture from the 7-year-old article on the Pittsburgh TV station website looked very similar. Not only that, the original picture from 7 years ago, this Matthew Yearlick had one of those, what do you call it, the extended earlobe where they put like a giant circle inside their earlobe and stretch
like
it out.
Like an African tribesman, huh?
Yeah. It's really gross. I don't even want to think about it. But the picture of the dead supposed assassin or a wannabe assassin, his right earlobe had a very visible scar on it that looked like, well, that's if you tried to reconstruct an earlobe, you'd get that kind of scar. So I don't know. So I'm not. You mentioned who did it. I don't know. Both of these people are local people. Bethel Park, I am aware of Bethel Park. It's a suburb of Pittsburgh. I knew a woman who had children who went to Bethel Park High School. It's like 20 years ago. And Bethel Park High School was one of these suburban high schools in the aughts that was completely overrun with heroin in the wake of the invasion of Afghanistan.
Another so blessings of the Jewish control of America, right? The pro-drug Hollywood and the pro-drug establishment and the pro-drug Sackler family. Boy, it's one of those great blessings we've gotten from blessing the Jews.
So just first salvo on who did it. The FBI took their time. They released the name of this something Cook, and Roger Stone has released a different name. And it's hard to say, but
that sounds a little bit convoluted for me because it seems to be very, very I don't know, it doesn't seem like the evidence is that obvious. A lot of things can look funny or look different, especially when the figures of this guy apparently were shot, you know, with half his brains out first. I don't know, but I want to look more at the macros.
Let me raise something, and then let's
please go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen this interview with an eyewitness with yes. you know, a beard and bright red hair being interviewed by the BBC reporter. While it was still daylight, and this supposedly took place at 7:15. And so if it's still daylight outside, it would have been within an hour or so, right? Mm-hmm. And the gentleman was saying that he had seen maybe 3 or 4 minutes prior to the shooting. He had seen somebody climb on the roof. He saw they clearly had a long gun, a rifle of some sort. And he was desperately trying to get the attention of law enforcement and, you know, whether it was Secret Service, local law enforcement. And they weren't really paying attention and didn't respond.
That's really weird. That's so insanely weird that they would not respond to someone, or the authorities would not respond to someone that weren't paying attention, or somebody with a long rifle climbing onto a roof that is invisible sight, and a very close shot, by the way, for any hunter or anybody that knows how to operate a rifle with a telescopic sight. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievably ridiculous that somebody that they wouldn't respond. It seems like maybe the people that supposedly should have responded intentionally didn't respond, because maybe they were part of a plan, much like the Kennedy assassination, to accomplish their aims.
So, you know, I'm not saying anything one way or another. And honestly, at this point, I could see things as being a conspiracy, or I could see things as being, a lone person who just wanted to do this, and that the Secret Service really didn't respond very well. But it's in the realm of just screwing things up. But at any rate, there's another angle of the shooting itself, where you see Trump and he's talking, he's pointing to a screen where, because they bring these big screens, and he's pointing to some document on the screen, and he's talking about, you know, how bad Joe Biden is. And then about three seconds before the shots ring out, you see behind, so there's another low building behind him, and behind Trump, there are two men who are Secret Service snipers, and they're on the, or marksmen, they're on the roof, and they are taking aim in the direction where the shots wound up coming from. But this is about 3 or 4 seconds before the shots happened. So it would seem as if these people on the roof were aware of it, were aware of a man with a gun on the roof 130 yards away. And so if nothing else, I mean, were they the first people to detect it? Probably not. But even if they were the first people to detect it, all the Secret Service people are wired to each other through, you know, shortwave or not shortwave, but, you know, walkie-talkie type of radio. They're in contact with each other. And if the Secret Service becomes aware of somebody with a rifle, all of the Secret Service there should know about it within a couple seconds.
Yeah, they're going to be communicating through their walkie-talkies.
Right. And Trump should have been pulled down. And the thing is, it's probably would not have been the first people to notice the man with the gun probably would not have been the people.
In fact, the people behind Trump, they probably couldn't have actually seen the guy very well if he's laying on a flat roof,
right,
you know, 150
right.
yards away. They were responding to what they're hearing on their headphones, right? Earphones.
Right. And what they're hearing on the headphones ultimately may have come from that red-haired man who gave the interview. It may have taken, say, local police a couple of minutes to actually take it seriously or something. That type of thing you could imagine. It could be. But at a minimum, the Secret Service was aware of the gun. It seems incontrovertible, really. The Secret Service was aware of the gunman some seconds before the shots rang out, And there should have been enough time before the shots to have removed Trump from the stage.
I'm sure they had to have people with earphones on close to Trump, too. There's always got people in close proximity that say, get Trump down. There's got to be an angle. There's got to be some people there, obviously, or connected up with the service. And if there was a threat, so they could warn the president or the old president and the would-be president, immediately. So it seems really weird that didn't happen.
Right. These people, you can identify them because they're all wearing earpieces. I remember in 1988 going to an event for Jesse Jackson at a black church in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And as he gets off, he's surrounded by the Secret Service, and they've all got the earpieces. This was 1988, and so they're all hooked up to each other. So there should have been that much communication. So at a minimum, there were some massive failings amongst the Secret Service. There was enough failings amongst the Secret Service that questions have to be asked about whether at least about the possibility of the failings having been intentional. Mm-hmm. That it's a question that needs to be asked. I'm not at this point saying that the Secret Service was involved in a conspiracy, but there were failings.
I'm not either. I'm just saying that there's certainly a possibility of it, and there seems to be, a lot of things that just stand out here that are just screaming that, my God, if you're protecting a presidential candidate from a possible assassination, which is what their job is, that is the first thing that you're going to do at an outdoor event. Now, if you had buildings all around, you'd have to check all the windows. You got to check the buildings. You got to check the roofs. They could even fly a drone. I mean, a $40 kid's drone can be going over the rooftop to look down and see what they've got going on. It's like that's the first thing you would do. Now, that's a lot more than just simple incompetence or failure. To me, it seems almost impossible to think that couldn't have happened by accident, when that would be the first thing and the highest priority of anybody trying to prevent an assassination, especially when you had a lot of coverage and magnetometers and these other devices to scan people for guns and other aspects of people coming on the grounds. The biggest threat would be in terms of a high-powered rifle, as apparently was in fact used against Trump. By somebody on an available line of sight. And a rooftop is the first thing you look at. And so this guy's a ladder? My God. And it's like, and by the way, if you look at the diagram, I've got a diagram I showed you earlier, you've seen it as well in some of the media. So if you look at the diagram, they show you these red spots, the red spot from Trump's speaker's podium, and it's right across, it's kind of in between, in a sense, diagonally, from two buildings. And the way this is described by the, the government officials that gave this to CNN and Fox News, because I've seen the same thing on all the networks. So it shows a red spot on top of the roof. It says, the so-called snipers, this is the snipers, the government snipers, to react against any sniper threat or react against any violent threat against the president, where they can snipe any direction or whatever. And they also, apparently, from one of these vantage points, and there's two of them there, and the one further downstream from Trump. And by the way, if you look at this area, it wasn't like there was a lot of buildings around. It's not like it's when one rooftop is kind of lost in this jungle of buildings and the guy pops in and out or something. No, this would be the most logical elephant in the room. This is the place where
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yogavaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Jungle of buildings, and the guy pops in and out or something. No, this would be the most logical elephant in the room. This is the place where someone would naturally think of the best vantage point to do this, and maybe the only really good one. And you have to have something that's not behind Trump in terms of a long shot off ground, because behind Trump, you've got a big stadium. You got people that's going to block the shot. Trump. So to get Trump, a direct thing, he's up there in an elevated stage, a platform, speaker's podium, and you got a clear shot directly to Trump head on. Also, it's the very most dramatic imagining murder that you could imagine if that would have happened. And by the way, this is obviously an attempt of assassination, total murder, killing the president, because this literally, he was saved by a half an inch. And he just, it was amazing that he survived this. And by the way, at this range, and it's been different things have been banded around 120 yards, 150 yards or whatever. And I saw a big interview this morning on CNN and on Fox where they were talking about people out there saying that the guy explained to these people, you think it's hard to shoot somebody? No. From 120 yards, especially, there didn't seem to be much wind. There was no problem. It wasn't that far. You literally have each 100 yards, you have something like an inch or two, maybe variation. And these are guns that are going to be, a rifle would be this way, where you're laying flat. It's absolutely supported. It's like shooting from a vise. It's like shooting, you're not going to have a jump. When you have a high-powered scope. I remember this hunting. I don't do that anymore these days. I can't, I don't have any weapons. But in a high-powered scope, you're a long way away, and just a slight variation or a slight jumping, like holding a gun, is going to cause a real variation in the shots over that distance. But when you can set up the gun and you can have like a supported viewpoint, literally, mm-hmm. you're talking about an inch or two from just a rank amateur. They were explaining it on Fox News to one of the women announcers, saying that the truth is, he said, look, I could train any one of you in 5 minutes how to take that shot. And if you did 10 shots at that distance, doing what I showed you to do, how you brace the gun, how you do it, and how this is done, if you just do that, it's like you got a 98% chance of those firings come within just two or three inches of each other.
Well, even if he's exaggerating a bit, the shooter is not alleged to be female.
I know a lot about London.
It's not alleged to be a female announcer from Fox News who's never handled a weapon, right? That's not who we're talking about.
I'm just saying that he could train anybody. It's not like it's not rocket science. It's not. It seems odd for the average person. I had a friend that not a hunter and didn't have much gun experience, and he was saying, "My God, that's got to be hard. That's if it's 150 yards, that's a long way. It's a football field and a half." I said, "These are, high power scopes." Right. And when the gun is, again, secured and it's not jumping around, you just basically have to squeeze a trigger and it's going to get there. And it's going to get there very quickly.
Yeah. And obviously, regardless of whether it takes a lot of training or a little bit of training, there's certainly lots of people who have that level of skill. So that's a given. There's lots of people with that level of skill. Now, there are some people out there who are saying, well, nobody was shot. This wasn't really an assassination attempt. He it was all staged. The whole thing was staged. And this, it couldn't be.
All
it
the people around that guy that died and the
got his head blown off. And I've been to half dozen Trump rallies. And at one of the rallies, I was on the stage behind Trump. I was about 10 people down from the black Trump guy. There's always the black Trump guy who's standing behind Trump, I'm talking about the black Trump guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was maybe 10 or 15 people down from him. I saw myself on C-SPAN when they did it on C-SPAN. So random people can get up on that stage. So there were lots. It's not as if you could have like a few hundred crisis actors up on that stage. Random people get up there. Random people, like, I don't know how many people were attending this. There's certainly many thousands. Could have been well over 10,000. I don't know what the attendance. All the Trump rallies I've been to have been well attended with, easily around 10,000 or sometimes more, depending on things. So you had lots and lots of witnesses. There's lots of people really close around. Somebody got his head blown off. You had in practically real time an emergency room doctor who. You could say, well, he's a crisis actor. All these people are crisis actors. But you had people dying. And there were so many people, you have hundreds of people on stage. And at these Trump rallies, you always have just many, many thousands of people come. They're at close range. And you have the people who are standing behind Trump, the ones directly behind Trump, like black Trump guy, the ones directly behind may have some connection to the campaign.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Mynutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
This is a man's world, but it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
At close range, and you have the people who are standing behind Trump, the ones directly behind Trump, you know, like black Trump guy, the ones directly behind may have some connection to the campaign. But like I said, I've been behind Trump, not right in the center, but, you know, close enough that, you know, random people at that distance are going to be able, they're going to know the difference between somebody getting their head blown off and not getting their head blown off.
And a lot of people will know it. You know, a lot of people will see that guy being carted off and everything.
Now, this isn't really very important, but there is some speculation about what hit Trump's ear.
You're breaking up, Dr. Or whether you have to repeat that for us again.
Okay. So there has been, this is not a really important point, but there has been speculation about what actually hit Trump's ear, because, you know, Trump was bleeding from the top of the ear, and supposedly it was the bullet, and probably was the bullet. But there's been some speculation that maybe it wasn't the bullet, but the bullet had hit the teleprompter, the glass teleprompter, and shards from it had cut Trump's ear. And whether it was one or the other really doesn't matter. I'm just raising it anyway. Full disclosure.
Well, the point is that so what these people were saying on these programs were people that know about guns and these kind of things, and saying that, you know, if they're given the right equipment, and they have even a minimum of training, that the chances of success of this, if they get the shot off and everything, obviously, is really, you know, powerful. Now, why don't we go into, well, we can go into one more micro issue, which is very interesting. A person sent me a video. There is apparently a video that's been released of the shooter of the shooter, and or at least a filming of this guy who was actually had his scope on the shooter himself, and he was pausing. He didn't take him. You see, once that shooter raises that rifle, sets it up, and starts concentrating, right, to do that, you don't even wait till the finger's being triggered. Especially a presidential candidate, and the endangerment to the tribe, you know, to the crowd. And they knew it was not one of their agents. So anybody that would be on that building, they all knew that. They would certainly confirm that instantly when they first noticed the guy on the roof. So they would have taken him out. Interestingly enough, he just sat there with the, you know, and apparently they have a film of this. They have the film through their sites. Of course, looks like they were recording it for history. I don't know. But they don't fire on him until he fires on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of interesting. And the truth is that there's lots of ways to take out somebody without killing them, especially with these expert marksmen. And the truth is that you can, you know, it's very convenient. If you do have a guy that's serving as a patsy, say it was set up, it was part of a conspiracy to kill him and to try to do some sort of disconnection from the agency, or if it was an agency rogue case with a different identity or however else it's set up, there's all sorts of ways in a normal situation, if it's just an unknown shooter, to basically disable them, wound them seriously, just completely shut them down in a sense without even killing them, where you could capture them and then you could uncover the plot, the greater plot behind it, the organization, if it's a terrorist organization or if it's a criminal organization or whatever it is. You can find out who's behind it. You get ways you can trace all those things. And obviously, if the guy's alive and he's facing life in prison or worse, what's the story with, you know, that's a chance to find out if any people were behind it and who those people were. But as soon as this happened, he just, you know, he blew out the guy's brains immediately, which wasn't necessarily really at that moment. But if he would have done it, he should have done that first, or at least disabled the effect. One shot to the guy anywhere would probably been enough for him to discourage or even try to make a shot if he got shot in the leg, let's say. And a high-powered rifle like that, it's extremely traumatic to you. You might be getting on a roof and to try to shoot a presidential candidate, but it's pretty traumatic when you get hit by a high-powered rifle. You can think you're going to die, and you'd probably be enough for you to break off the attempt, right? But he didn't do that.
And like I was saying before, had they just simply rushed Trump off the stage all of a sudden before the guy got settled down even?
Well, they should have.
That would – and then –
Well, all it takes, though, is one person in charge, right, of that security unit, one person in charge, because these are all coordinating, so they don't end up having duplication and endangering innocence and all that other stuff, is making the decisions, right? And a decision can simply – doesn't have to be a decision. It doesn't have to be a particular command to shoot or not to shoot or to get Trump down or not to get Trump down. The decision could simply be – no communication, right? That you don't issue the order to have them go down. It could be a lot of reasons for that. People are distracted or people get more information. They're trying to listen to a new report on the possible shooter or multiple shooters. And so somebody could argue, well, they didn't get them down for that reason. So, but if a person wanted the situation of Trump to die, and I do believe that there are such a things as assassinations and conspiracies. And in my studies of history for so long, if you just read about Russia, for instance, you read about these Jewish assassination, that the Jews assassinated the father of the Tsar. I mean, it's crazy, but It's all true. And then they assassinated the Tsar and his whole family after the Bolshevik takeover. And if you look at many of the assassinations throughout history, they assassinated many British, by the way, in the Ergun campaign and the Mnuchin-Begin campaigns against the British in the founding of Israel. They assassinated Bernadotte, who was one of the European, the guy that was really for the United Nations. The Jews violated every international law. They violated, you know, they went into a terrorist campaign against the British. I mean, I would think that any British person would be, you know, would be remiss if they could support Israel, knowing the actual history of the Jews with the treachery that they did against Great Britain. In fact, I just read a few articles a few days ago, on which I wasn't even aware of. But I looked at the histories, and there were many of the articles in the British press about this. There are actually bombings in Great Britain itself, in England, that were trying to terrorize the British into leaving Palestine because they wanted a free hand to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians, which is also a violation of the so-called Balfour Declaration, which wasn't actually written by Balfour. It was written by Daniel Armory. But the Balfour Declaration, and he was Jewish, by the way, a secret Jew, according to, again, it's conspiracies. I mean, I can show you Jewish virtual learning talking about Mr. Armory, who was so-called Hungarian, parading himself as a Britisher, who was actually Jewish, a secret Jew. And they were very careful how to word the Balfour Declaration so they could get that Balfour Declaration given the Jews to go to Palestine and be there and affect things, but acting like, well, they're not going to violate the rights of the indigenous people, so it's okay for Britain to do that. Talk about a good cover story, but it's
right.
It's like it's really interesting. These conspiracies do happen, and I do believe the Kennedy assassination. I think Michael Collins Piper's book was an excellent book on that.
Right,
and the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, Kennedy became a super enemy of Israel, and Israel became a super enemy of Kennedy. They thought of Kennedy as an existential threat. And he was demanding that Israel let the Palestinians return. This was before the 67 war and the capture of the West Bank.
Right. So there, I mean, at a minimum, there were failings from the Secret Service. So there's the failing of...
So let's go to the macros then.
Okay, well, yeah, let me do that. I'm just going to establish these failings, and then we'll put that within the macro. So the failings you had not responding... promptly to the alert from the witness who saw the guy with the rifle on the roof, not having properly monitored the roof. You know, there was a ladder there. Once they've seen the rifleman, not to evacuate Trump promptly from the stage. So there are some failings there, at a minimum. And so one or two or three. People, there are people who failed in their job. Now, maybe, you know, they Trump is doing rallies day after day after day, and you know, it's possible people sometimes get tired and their guard comes down. So that's plausible. But let's put it within the macro. It's within a macro of for the past eight, nine years, Trump really being in the crosshairs. Joe Biden just a few days ago talked about. You know, stop looking at me. It's time to put Trump in the crosshairs.
You said that exactly.
He used that term. You've had all sorts of Hollywood people.
Boy, they did put Trump in the crosshairs, didn't they?
Yeah, you've had all sorts of Hollywood people talking about wanting to kill Trump, whether, you know, Madonna, somebody should go.
Remember the beheading of the artist who actually did a statue or like a symbol of his, a facsimile of his head. Like a human head, and
I think her name's Kathy Griffith. Isn't that her name, Kathy Griffith? She's
that's right.
Red hair.
Yeah.
And then Steve Bannon was complaining. I guess after the assassination, but he was complaining about how many people have been comparing Trump to Caesar, Julius Caesar, who, by the way, was assassinated. And you know, people comparing. There's a Broadway play that was. About Trump being assassinated. It was kind of a take on the Shakespeare Julius Caesar, I guess. It was a redoing of that, making Trump into Caesar. But then you had Robert Kagan, one of the founders.
Tell us about the Robert Kagan, the research you've been doing on this.
Right. So Robert Kagan, of course, he's most people know him as the one of the founders, one of the two founders of the Project for a New American Century that plotted out the, you know, the post 9/11 wars on terror. He did that. He's also the
along with Victoria Nudelman. His lovely wife, very anti-viciously anti-Russians. Of course, we don't ever hear about anti-Russians. We hear about anti-Semites so every day all over the world, right?
And Trump, like for all his failings, on his inauguration day, on inauguration day in 2017, he took time off of dancing with his lovely wife to fire Victoria Nuland. She had been, you know, she was a career State Department person. She had been in Republican and Democratic administrations. Well, he fired her.
Well, she was on hook to become Secretary of State under the very great, wonderful candidate against Trump in the first election. Correct.
Yeah, the
Hillary Clinton. The other 20 biggest contributors were 18. Billionaire Zionist dedicated Jews.
So Robert Kagan published a book in April. I think it was the end of April of this year, just a few months ago. And then he's been on the the talk show circuit ever since then. And he has been comparing Trump to Caesar, to a dictator, saying, you know, this is our last chance to avoid dictatorship. So you've had a whole bunch of that. And this one more thing I'll add in. A couple of days ago, I was listening to one of my either YouTube or Rumble podcasts. And sometimes if it ends and you don't act fast enough, some random podcast comes up after it. And this random thing that came up was a discussion at Notre Dame University between a few academics. And they were all just saying how Trump was a danger to democracy. They said the hallmark of democracy is giving up when you've lost an election. Is relinquishing power. That's a hallmark of a democracy, is giving up power when you lost an election.
Yeah, it's not trying to protect the country from a fraudulent, rigged, and criminally affected election result. Oh, that's definitely defending a bureaucracy when you try to hide and you allow this massive manipulation, illegal manipulation of the voting tallies and the way votes are collected. And so many other aspects of campaign financing and the way media is used to bias electoral bodies for a certain candidate. Right. All that goes up by the wayside, correct?
If a few years ago somebody had asked any academic, what's the hallmark of democracy, they would say free and fair elections, right? Mm-hmm. Free and fair elections. But no, there was the free and fair elections that didn't enter into the picture. It's just the loser has to give up. Does it have to be free and fair? That wasn't part of the definition. And so this is
The establishment elite says won. If the establishment elite says you win, you win. If the establishment elite say you lose regardless of the evidence that you have a right to present.
Right. And so
you're supposed to have a right to present.
Gaslighting, saying baseless claims. Well, okay. At the end of the day, if you want to say maybe the evidence wasn't good enough, you can say the evidence wasn't good enough. But the fact is, there was evidence. It wasn't baseless. The entire electoral system had been changed because of the deadly coronavirus, so that people could, you know, you had all sorts of things injected into the electoral system, in particular the mail and voting, but also things like social distancing. When during the voting, during the canvassing of the vote, social distancing, so you can't actually monitor. You know, election monitors can't monitor things because they have to stay 20 or 30 feet away. So you had all sorts
of mail-in ballots have an absolute security flaw from the get-go. That's a macro flaw, because anytime you mail in a ballot, that opens a door for all kinds of fraud, obviously.
Right. So in an election.
Mail-in ballot, even the way they count them at different times, and when you basically count votes in a typical election, like a paper ballot or even machine ballots. I remember my campaigns. You know, they go in and they open the machines and they check. They do the tallies before the election. They do the tallies after the election. They see if everything adds up properly, right? So 2 + 2 = 4 type thing, and at least you get some sort of degree of inspection. But when you have somebody in the middle of the night in Atlanta, Georgia, in these, you know, in these 100% black precincts, sitting there counting the mail-in ballots without being overseen, because you have poll watchers, and then the poll watchers in a normal election are watching, and they're reading out the name, right? Are they making sure that, first of all, they're making sure that the person is registered to vote, where if you get a ballot coming back in, there's no way for them to know, because you can get the same data. There's no way for them to know whether that ballot or that person sent that in. What?
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
If you get a ballot coming back in, there's no way for them to know, because you can get the same data. There's no way for them to know whether that's valid or that person sent that in. What?
In a normal election, you have a chain of custody of the ballots,
right,
and you have multiple people, you know, the minority officer, the majority officer, right, have multiple eyes on the ballots at all times. In the 2020 election, Postal letter carriers are not election officials. You had drop boxes where ballots weren't being monitored. There was no chain of custody. Anyway, so not only that, but you have
a completely biased media where not only did the political expression, like in the biggest ones, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, you know, you had Google controlling the search engines. You had Google controlling Wikipedia on candidates. You had Google silencing people. Like, I got banned during that, you know, that last election for Donald Trump, right, against Biden. I got banned because they didn't want anybody. In fact, a lot of pro-Trumpers were banned, so they didn't have any mobilization of the Trump vote, which I supported Trump heartily during that election and the one before. So they didn't want that to happen. And that's one way to influence votes, because if you're in contact with your people and you're saying, well, it's election day, you got to go vote, you're going to produce more votes. Instead, they had things like Facebook and all these other major media forums that were literally sending out reminders to vote in these heavily black swing districts and precincts and counties, for instance, in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, which were very important swing states, which were very, very close. And just that getting out the vote urgings. We know that even Robert Epstein, who was another Jew, who exposed Google and how that Google affected, he said in sworn testimony before the U.S. Congress, that Google affected millions of votes. These are three Jews that run Google and search engines and all the rest of this stuff. Three Jews. It's one of the lower one is Schmidt. The next up were, of course, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, and they totally control it. And they can send you whatever websites they want, whatever candidates they want, and they can hide any sort of information they want to hide, just like they hid the truth about the Hunter Biden laptop. You and I and many critics were totally right that the Hunter Biden laptop was authentic. It was absolutely real. So all the allegations in there and all the stuff in there and all the emails and so forth, and the same thing with the Hillary Clinton emails. The corruption and everything in this campaigns were enormous. And these corruptions were enormous. And yet, you know, they told us, oh, that's all Russian disinformation. No, it wasn't Russian disinformation. It was the people who really control American fundraising, American media, America narratives about these things, and that's Jewish supremacy in America. So let's go to the macro here.
Yeah, so the other aspect of the macro that I wanted to make sure
to mention.
Let's
go quickly, because I'm almost out of time. I've only got 3 minutes now.
Yes, I know. So it's that there has been an unprecedented effort to disable Trump as president, as a viable candidate. So, you know, they up until now, they'd used everything but assassination. So they impeached him twice. They had they investigated him. They sued him. They arrested him. What was left? So it's very plausible.
And,
to look
and
at this
were they not desperate? So let's address one more subject, because I've only got a couple minutes left. I guess I'll just finish it off here because we were out of time. But
I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You can't.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.